Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Dova M Radio Network. How you doing? You okay? I hope you're not in the Midwest. Dear God. It's just horrible what's happening up there. I think Chuckle Nuts made a trip there today, didn't he? We have a couple of items tonight that, as I perused them today, I came to the conclusion that Nancy Pelosi needs to be impeached or just change her allegiance to the Republican Party. We have been sandbagged, folks. I'm referring primarily to Glenn Greenwald's series of articles, the latest of which is up at Salon.com, from which I'm going to be quoting heavily in a few moments. But there's a couple of things. Also, John Nichols writing in The Nation a couple of months ago about Nancy Pelosi. When I share with you what the Speaker of the House has done, I think you will pretty much agree with me that she is a Republican and is doing everything she can. You wonder why impeachment's not on the table. This will explain clearly, concisely, and precisely why impeachment is not on the table. We shall get to that in a couple of minutes. And I may go berserk. I may go right out of my freaking mind. Talking about going out of my freaking mind, for Nova M founding members, and you know who you are, the newest Malloy reading his hate mail is up at the founders section. There's only one problem. With the video, I said today is Thursday the 19th, and it is, what is today? Is today the 20th, Kathy? No, today is Thursday the 19th. Or did I say the 20th? Oh, I said the 20th. Okay. In the video, I said, hi, it's Thursday the 20th. And then being a smartass, I said, that's for the historians. Okay. It's not the 20th. It's the 19th. And the second part, I have found out that the email of the person I read, Shelley, what was the last name? Shelley the Republican, right, is a woman. So the crass references I made to masturbation still hold, but, you know, I mean, of course, I mean, women masturbate, but, well, it just makes the video a little tackier than it was intended to be, but that's all right. Shelley, as you will hear when you go to the video, Shelley uses language that is, I don't know, it's horrifying, something you hear Bill Maher say on his program. What's it? HBO? What is it? Real Time with Bill Maher. Okay, all the fun and games out of the way. Good. We have to talk about what Pelosi and Steny Hoyer have done about the FISA Compromise Act. But first, posted at thenation.com by John Nichols way back in March, Nichols is points out that when Nancy Pelosi and her crew in the House's Democratic leadership cadre initially accepted that spending legislation designed to outline an Iraq exit strategy should also include a provision barring the president, chuckle nuts, asshead, from attacking Iran without congressional approval. They, according to Nichols, opened up a monumental discussion about presidential war powers. What was attempted, Democrats tried to get into the into any future spending bills, all of which are emergency supplementals, which means they cannot be tracked. Nobody knows what the hell these billions of dollars are being spent for. Bart Kopp, over at BartKopp.com, has been talking for 5 years about the theft that's been going on from these estimates now $2 trillion that the Iraq war is going to wind up costing the American taxpayer. Think about that. It's just astonishing. It eventually is going to cost us that. Other countries have been floating the loans for this war. But just so you know, somebody in the alternative media has been talking about this for 5 years, and it's Bart Kopp. If you haven't been to his website, shame on you, BartKopp.com. Anyway, the idea was, in these horrendous supplemental emergency funding bills for George Bush's wars, was to put something in there saying George W. Bush, if he decided to launch a third war, would have to get permission from the Congress. A rather quaint notion, but it's in the Constitution. Now, the decision by Pelosi and her crew to rewrite the Iraq legislation to exclude the statement regarding the need for congressional approval for any military assault on Iran sends the worst possible signal to the White House. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When Pelosi and her group of corporate Democrats, which means Republicans, when they decided to take out of the standard legislation granting yet another 100 or 200 billion to this warmongering, murderous son of a bitch in the White House, taking out of those supplementals, the requirement that before he launches a third war, he goes to Congress and gets permission. Pelosi had that removed. Here's how the speaker messed up. Here's how she messed up, according to Nichols. The Democratic proposal for a timeline to withdraw troops from Iraq included a provision that would have required Bush to seek congressional approval before using military force in Iran. It was entirely appropriate piece of the Iraq proposal, as the past experiences of U.S. involvement in Southeast Asia and Latin America has well illustrated that when wars bleed across borders, it becomes significantly more difficult to end them. Thus, fears about the prospect that Bush might attack Iran are legitimately related to the debate about how and when to end the occupation of Iraq. But Pelosi was so desperate to advance her flawed spending legislation that she willingly bargained with any Democrat about any... Let's skip that. Under pressure from some conservative members of her caucus... Oh, I see what he's saying. Conservative Democrats. And from lobbyists associated with neoconservative groupings that want war with Iran, and the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee... Oh, that must be AIPAC! Pelosi agreed, back in March, to strip the ban provision from the spending bill that has become the House leadership's primary vehicle for challenging the administration's policies in the region. Okay? It's gone. Now, let me digress from what Nichols is writing here. Does this not make clear that why Bush and Cheney and the rest of these blood-soaked bastards have been talking so freely and easily about war with Iran? Because Nancy Pelosi made sure there would be nothing to stop them. Nothing. Pelosi did it. Nancy Pelosi did this. Nothing in the provision that had been included in the spending bill would have prevented Bush from threatening Iran. That's a given. Nothing in the provision would have prevented war with Iran. That's a given. It merely reminded Bush that before launching another attack on another country, he would need to obey the constitutional requirement that he seek a declaration of war. That's all the provision required. By first including the provision, it was in the original bill, and then taking it out, Pelosi and her aides have given Bush more of an opening to claim that he does not require congressional approval. Again and again, Nichols writes, the Bush administration has seized any and every opening to claim powers that were never accorded the executive branch by the Constitution or the Congress. Remember that this administration has sought to justify a massive, unregulated domestic spying program by claiming authority under narrow legislation that was passed permitting Bush to respond to the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center. Never mind that no mention of such spying was included in the legislation. The fact that it was not explicitly barred gave this corrupt administration all the room it required to claim the power to disregard the Constitution and the rule of law. Nancy Pelosi. Now, Nichols concludes, by stripping the Iran provision from the legislation, Pelosi has handed Bush and Cheney exactly what they want. They can and will say that when the question of whether Congress should require the administration to seek congressional approval for an attack on Iran, Pelosi chose not to pursue the matter. And anyone who thinks that Bush and Cheney will fail to exploit this profound misstep by Pelosi has not been paying attention for the past 6 years. She has erred dramatically and dangerously. John Nichols, writing at The Nation Online. In March. So who was it that prevailed upon her to take it out? Conservative members of the Democratic caucus. Lobbyists associated with neocon groupings that want war with Iran. And AIPAC.
Mike Malloy.
It's about 23 past the hour. So Pelosi deliberately removes from the last supplemental request to continue the death and destruction of our people and the Iraqis. She removes the requirement or the suggestion or the clause or the part of the bill that said before you attack another country, you got to come in and get permission from us. Before you go after Iran, you have to come to Congress. And the reason she did it is under pressure from conservative Democrats, the military-industrial complex, and AIPAC. It's unbelievable. Now, this is not new news. I don't mean to sit here like, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo, the sun is rising. It's not new news. This is in March, March 18th. TheNation.com. John Nichols. But I don't remember hearing anything about it in the other part of mainstream. I guess, is The Nation mainstream media? No, I guess not. But there you have it. Now, it gets worse. It gets worse. Let's move on now. Jason Leopold, writing at the Public Record, talks about a Democratic-engineered emergency supplemental bill. See, there it goes again. To continue funding the occupation of Iraq and the war in Afghanistan to the tune of another $162 billion was expected to win bipartisan support today, according to leaders in the House. The bill, as currently drafted, does not contain any conditions for withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq, nor does it restrict how Bush can conduct military operations. So, the legislation ensures both wars are funded well into 2009 and comes nearly 2 years after Democrats won majorities in Congress and the Senate, largely on promises to resist handing the Bush administration blank checks for Iraq and a pledge. Do you remember this? Do you remember this? God damn, do you remember this? A pledge to immediately bring U.S. troops home. Remember? A spokesperson for Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was unavailable for comment. Nancy Pelosi. Congressional leaders intend to hand the legislation to the Senate today. The White House indicated Bush will sign the legislation into law if it passes both houses, which Democratic leaders said is the likely outcome. Democratic leaders say that's a likely outcome. Oh, yeah, it'll pass another $162 billion. Now, this latest round of funding engineered by Democrats, son of a bitch, Democrats, comes 2 weeks after the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence issued that report about pre-war Iraq intelligence that accused Bush and Cheney and a whole clutch of these miserable bastards of knowingly lying to the public and Congress about everything about Iraq in order to win support for a U.S.-led invasion. 2 weeks ago. 2 freaking weeks ago. But Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Harry Reid and the rest of these traitorous sons of bitches, these Republicans, have refused to do what we gave them the power to do, and that's to stop this nonsense, this murder, this slaughter. As Jason Leopold writes, since Democrats took control of Congress, they have failed at every instance in standing up to White House demands that they provide emergency funding for the occupation of Iraq without conditions, like the benchmarks calling for a timetable to withdraw troops. Democrats have failed to rein in the Bush administration's use of emergency supplementals, despite repeated warnings to do so, to fund the 5-year-old war in Iraq and the 7-year-old war in Afghanistan, which may have wasted billions of taxpayer dollars, according to the CRS, which is an investigative arm of Congress. I can hear the laughter out there of people that repeatedly tell me that there's no difference between Democrats and Republicans. Y'all are just sitting there laughing your asses off, right? Like, hey, Malloy, what, you act surprised? We'll be back in a minute.
Everybody's crying peace on earth just as soon as we win this war. So straight ahead, knock 'em dead. Pack your kit, choose your hypocrite. You don't have to go to Off-Broadway to see something plain absurd.
It's in the Gulf Coast countries' interests that there be a stable Iran. Iran that is capable of rejecting Iranian influence.
Capable of... Oh, never mind. Democrats have failed since you and I gave them the power to stop this son of a bitch. Democrats have failed to rein in the Bush administration's use of emergency supplemental appropriations, despite repeated warnings to do so, as a means of funding the 5-year-old war in Iraq and the 7-year conflict in Afghanistan, which may have wasted trillions of taxpayer dollars. Jason Leopold writing for the Public Record yesterday. Over 90%, according to the CRS, an investigative arm of Congress, over 90% of the Defense Department funds were provided as emergency funds in supplemental or additional appropriations. The remainder were provided regular defense bills or in transfers from regular appropriations. Emergency funding is exempt from ceilings applying to discretionary spending in Congress's annual budget resolutions. Now, let me digress. You know how every time one of these Republican rat bastards, especially the idiot thug McCain, when they start talking about discretionary spending, what are they talking about? Huh? What are they talking about? That's right. They're talking about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, roads and bridges, public schools, what's left of the any sort of welfare or unemployment compensation program. That's what they're talking about. Emergency funding for wars is exempt from ceilings applying to discretionary spending. And then Jason quotes a woman who's a senior research fellow and budget scholar at the George Mason University. She says that funding the Iraq and Afghanistan wars through emergency legislation is both unusual and troubling because it complicates tracking the real cost. You see, this is the brilliant hand of Dick Cheney again, the most miserable criminal son of a bitch ever to operate in any aspect of governance in this country. Dick Cheney. the research fellow, Ms. DeRugi, I believe is her name, she said, while other wars have initially been funded using emergency supplementals, they have quickly been incorporated into the regular budget. Never before has emergency supplemental spending been used to fund an entire war and over the course of so many years, end quote. And that's in an article titled The Trillion Dollar War, written by her in the May issue of Reason magazine. The Trillion Dollar War. Now it goes on. Jason Leopold, we'll have this posted at MikeMalloy.com when the program's over. Nancy Pelosi. Now the really bad stuff. Glenn Greenwald has been doing a series of pieces at Salon.com. And today he writes that CQ, Congressional Quarterly, reports that a final deal has been reached on FISA, remember the domestic spying law, and telecom amnesty, remember the criminals who provide us with television and telephones and cell phones and yada, yada, yada. A deal has been reached, and the House is likely to take up the legislation tomorrow. Glenn writes, I've now just read a copy of the final so-called compromise bill. It's even worse than expected. When you read it, it's actually hard to believe that the Congress is about to make this into our law. Then again, this is the same Congress that abolished habeas corpus with the Military Commissions Act and legalized George Bush's warrantless eavesdropping program with the Protect America Act, so it shouldn't be hard to believe at all. Seeing the words in print, though, adds a new dimension to appreciating just how corrupt and repugnant this is. Now, for example, the provision granting amnesty to these law-breaking telecom companies, Title 8, has the exact Orwellian title it should have, quote, Protection of Persons Assisting the Government, end quote. And the key section here provides the following. A civil action may not lie or be maintained in a federal or state court against any person for providing assistance to an element of the intelligence community and shall be properly dismissed if the Attorney General certifies to the District Court of the United States in which such action is pending that the assistance alleged to have been provided was in connection with intelligence activity involving communications that was authorized by the President during the period beginning on September 11, 2001 and ending on January 17, 2007 and designed to prevent or detect a terrorist attack or activities in preparation of a terrorist attack against the United States and the subject of a written request or directive indicating that the activity was authorized by the President and determined to be lawful. Determined to be lawful. So all the Attorney General, according to this, has to do is to recite those magic words. The President requested this eavesdropping and did it in order to save us from the terrorists. That's all that has to be said. If that is said, the minute the Attorney General utters those words, the courts are required to dismiss the lawsuits against the telecoms, no matter how illegal their behavior may have been. That's it. Now, who designed this? Well, it's a compromise. It's a bipartisan. It's the compromise that the House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer negotiated. And which he is now, according to very credible reports, he is now pressuring every member of the Democratic caucus to support. It is full-scale, unconditional amnesty with no inquiry into whether anyone broke the law. So, in the United States now, thanks to the Democrats in Congress, we'll have a new law based on the premise that the President has the power to order private entities, private actors, to break the law. And when he issues such an order, the private actors will be protected from liability of any kind on the ground that the leader told them to do it. Which is the very theory that the Nuremberg trials rejected. Do you see what's going on here? Do you see this? Do you understand this? Law breaking now by corporate America becomes sanctioned in law. Any corporation, if I go now, right goddamn this minute, get up and walk out of here and go down to my local convenience store and take a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, and a pound of bologna and walk out, my ass will go to jail. But corporate America, from the point that this is passed into law forward, can do anything it wants to do. Anything. And as long as the Attorney General recites the magic words, the President requested this to save us from the terrorists, it's legal. It's legal. As Glenn Greenwald writes, it's full-scale, unconditional amnesty with no inquiry into whether anyone broke the law. All they have to say is, well, our leader told us to do it. I was not in control. My commander told me to do it. Now, from the press release jointly issued by the Republicans and the Democratic chairman responsible for this bill, Greenwald has it here. It says, bipartisan FISA compromise reached. Bill protects nation and civil liberties. The bill protects civil liberties. Do you hear this? These are Democrats that are agreeing to this. Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman John J. Rockefeller of West Virginia and Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chairman Kit Bond of Missouri, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and House Minority Whip Ray Blunt. Two Democrats, three Republicans announced today that a bipartisan compromise has been agreed to that will modernize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Quote, this bipartisan bill balances the needs of our intelligence community with the American civil liberties and provides critical new oversight and accountability requirements, said Steny Hoyer. You son of a bitch, accountability requirements are out the window. It's in the goddamn thing. It says there's no accountability. Provides critical new oversight and accountability requirements, said Steny Hoyer. He went on, quote, it is the result of compromise, and like any compromise, is not perfect, but I believe it strikes a sound balance. Furthermore, Steny Hoyer said, we have ensured that Congress can, revisit these issues because the legislation will sunset at the end of 2012. Jay Rockefeller celebrated this, what he called, historic bipartisan agreement to modernize FISA, which is about providing an essential tool in the fight against terrorism. We're going to be slaughtered, you see, by the terrorists unless Bush can listen to our calls and read our emails with no warrants and unless the telecoms are immunized for their lawbreaking. If we don't agree to this, they're going to come and cut the throats of your children, rape your spouse, whether it's man, woman, whether it's gay or straight. They're going to kill you. They're going to burn your house. And when the ground cools, they're going to salt the earth where your house stood. If we don't pressure our representatives and senators to sign this bill and get it to George.
FISA law was written in 1978. We're having a discussion in 2006. It's a different world.
Yeah, thanks to you, you half-ass. 10 before the hour. Now, going back to Glenn Greenwald's extensive article, and we have it linked for you at our... What is that site? Our program... What do we call that? Topic links. Yeah, okay. You'll find it there. You need to read it, the whole thing. I'm just hitting the highlights here. According to Greenwald, the ACLU's Caroline Fredrickson calls this disastrous surveillance legislation. And she said this about the new warrantless eavesdropping provisions in the bill. This is from the ACLU's Caroline Fredrickson. Quote, the bill allows for mass and untargeted surveillance of Americans' communications. The court review is mere window dressing. All the court would look at is the procedures for the year-long dragnet and not at the who, what, why of the spying. Even this superficial court, the FISA court review, has a gaping loophole. It is exigent circumstances can shortcut even this perfunctory oversight, since any delay in the onset of spying meets the test, and by definition, going to the court would cause at least a minimal pause. Can't have that. Because in that moment, you see, the terrorists might drop the nuke on downtown Chicago. Back to the ACLU statement, Caroline Fredrickson. She says, worse yet, if the court denies any order for any reason, the government is allowed to continue surveillance throughout the appeals process, thereby rendering the role of the judiciary meaningless. In the end, there is no one to answer to. A court review without power is no court review at all. This is, let me digress, this is what the new FISA bill does. This is what Steny Hoyer and Jay Rockefeller and Nancy Pelosi, this is what they have done. They have thrown away the Fourth Amendment. It is gone. It is gone. And they call this a compromise. Glenn Greenwald writes, I'd like to underscore the fact that in 2006, when the Congress was controlled by Bill Frist and Denny Hastert, the administration tried to get a bill passed legalizing warrantless eavesdropping and telecom amnesty and failed. They had to wait until the Congress was controlled by Steny Hoyer, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid to get it accomplished. Russ Feingold today says the proposed FISA deal is not a compromise, it is a capitulation. The House and Senate should not be taking up this bill, which effectively guarantees immunity for telecom companies alleged to have participated in the president's illegal program and which fails to protect the privacy of law-abiding Americans at home. Allowing courts, Feingold continues, to review the question of immunity is meaningless when the same legislation essentially requires the court to grant immunity. Oh, God damn. And under this bill, the government can still sweep up and keep the international communications of innocent Americans in the U.S. with no connection to suspected terrorists, with very few safeguards to protect against abuse of this power. End quote, Russ Feingold. Meanwhile, has anyone seen Barack Obama? The two presumptive presidential nominees have differed over the issue. A senior aide to John McCain recently indicated the senator would support granting immunity to the phone companies. Barack Obama was among the most vocal opponents of immunity in the Senate debate last year. A spokesman for the Obama campaign didn't return phone calls or emails seeking comment for this article. Finally, a blogger named D-Day reports that the House leadership is working to vote tomorrow on the war funding bill and the FISA compromise at the same time. As D-Day reports, quote, the final indignity, funding for endless war, and etching out the Fourth Amendment will be combined into the same bill to force enough compliance from Blue Dog Democrats to get this bill passed. End quote. Now, let me digress for a moment. There's more to go here, and we'll get it after the top of the hour. Not a whole lot, just a little bit more. But you know, we've got to understand what the Democrats have done. We have to understand. Going back to the emergency supplemental funding, the new $167 billion that the Democrats said, sure, you can have it, go, with no stipulation about timetables for withdrawal or reduction of troops, and no requirement for Bush to come to the Congress before he invades another country. Remember that? Mike in Golden, Colorado writes, remember when Bush earlier this week inexplicably refused to release emergency funds to the flooded states? He said, we got to save it for a future emergency, but Congress could create new funds. End quote. Well, as Mike writes, the latest emergency funding bill for the war contains a $2 billion rider for the flood states. Can you spell blackmail? Yeah, I can spell blackmail. I certainly can. And I can also spell treason. Is it treason when somebody takes an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and then goes out of her way and his way to destroy it? Is that treason or is that just an impeachable offense? Folks, we're screwed! Now, is Barack Obama going to pull us out of this? Huh? Is he? Is he going to pull us out of this? How? Oh, my God. There's more. I just said this. I'm a little bit upset this evening. I'm kind of spinning here. You know, I'm getting that dizzy feeling right before you have a massive coronary. It may happen tonight. You know, if it happens on live radio, that'll be cool. Did you hear what happened to Malloy last night? No, what? He did a Tim Russert. You're kidding! I'm an evil bastard, deserved it. Ask Shelley the Republican. All right, we'll at Mac.com. We'll be back right after the break. We got more from Glenn Greenwald here. And he is turning out. He and Jason Leopold, of course, and some more, some people at TV News Lies, and of course, Laura Alexandrovna. There's a whole cluster of online writers who are ripping the lies and shredding the facade. If only we could get mainstream media to pay attention. Welcome back. It's 6 and a half past the hour. It's always 6 and a half past the hour, isn't it? Huh? The clocks were striking 13 as Winston... No, that's a whole different thing. Back to Glenn Greenwald's extensive article at Salon.com about the compromise worked out between Republicans and Democrats where it concerns the new FISA bill and the telecom immunity and an extension of that immunity to just about any entity, actor, I believe is the word, or of course, corporate actor. If you or I do something, our ass is going to prison ex post haste, or no, post haste, or whatever. But the continuing move to corporatism is, I don't know what's left. In the new FISA Act, the Fourth Amendment is now scotched. It's gone. It doesn't exist. Habeas corpus is gone. Even though the Supreme Court just ruled that where it concerns habeas corpus, you got to put that back for those prisoners. So here goes the Fourth Amendment. Gone. The right of the people to be secure in their, what, persons, papers, things. That the government cannot enter into your private stuff without a warrant, it's gone. And Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, I never did like him, have engineered this. Back to Glenn Greenwald's Salon piece, Nancy Pelosi, who completely removed herself from this entire process, ceding control to Steny Hoyer, made comments today about the FISA bill that are both incoherent and inane. Here's what she said. This is Nancy Pelosi, quote, "Tomorrow we will be taking up the FISA bill. As you probably know, the bill has been filed. It is a balanced bill. I could argue it either way. Not being a lawyer, but nonetheless, I could argue it either way. But I have to say this about it. It's an improvement over the Senate bill, and I say that as a strong statement. The Senate bill is unacceptable, totally unacceptable. This bill improves upon the Senate bill. And it is again entitled to an improvement over the Senate bill in that it empowers the district court, not the FISA court, to look into issues that relate to immunity. It has a strong language in terms of an inspector general to investigate how the law has been used, is being used, will be used. So that will be legislation that we will take up tomorrow. We will have a lively debate, I'm sure, within our caucus on this subject and in the Congress. It has bipartisan support. I commend Steny Hoyer for his important work on this legislation, working in a bipartisan way. And then Glenn Greenwald at Salon concludes this way. Finally, what's particularly amazing about this whole process is that the House leadership unveiled this bill today and then scheduled the vote on it for tomorrow. No hearings, nothing. They all have less than 24 hours to read the bill and decide whether to eviscerate the rule of law in the Fourth Amendment. I recall Democrats long complaining that they were only given one day before being forced back in September 2001 to vote on the Patriot Act. Yet here they are, even without the excuse of the 9/11 attack, doing that to themselves. I'm sure their votes tomorrow will be the byproduct of a very conscientious, thoughtful, and diligent review of this bill, just as thoughtful as Pelosi's review was before she pronounced that it's all just six of one, half a dozen of the other. Glenn Greenwald, who is becoming, for a lot of us, favorite political muckraker, and I say that with great respect and admiration. One postscript to it. From Bob, he writes, here's the horrible part. The section of the bill that would grant immunity is titled Protection of Persons Assisting the Government, as we mentioned. A title in line with the argument of the Bush administration and immunity proponents that retroactive legal protection is needed to ensure future cooperation of private business with the intelligence apparatus. How much do you want to bet that this will stretch over and give immunity to the torturers? Well, yes. Now, some emails on this quickly. This is from Chico. Even worse about FISA. He said, see this from the Associated Press. Here's what it says. The Republican lawmakers said lawsuits could still be pursued against the government by those who believe the program, the FISA program itself, is illegal. But they said even if those suits were ultimately successful, they would have no impact on the culpability of the phone companies. Senator Christopher Bond, Republican of Missouri, said, quote, and this is chilling, I'm not here to say that the government is always right, but when the government tells you to do something, I'm sure you would all agree that I think you all recognize that is something you need to do. End quote. Senator Christopher Bond, not Dodd, Bond, Republican of Missouri. I'm not here to say the government's always right, but when the government tells you to do something, I think you all recognize that is something you need to do. Jesus Christ. That is something you need to do. Mark writes, Mike, you mentioned that the war will wind up costing $2 trillion, but the estimate that Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz estimated earlier this year is that the war will cost $3 trillion, an estimate that he said probably errs on the low side. From William in Hollywood. Mike, what's Pelosi's next step to help the Bush crime family out? Is she going to break the first champagne bottle across the bow of one of the warships before the attack Iran? There has been a stench ever since Pelosi first set foot in that seat. It's from Lee in San Diego. Mike, this is dreadful news you've given us. Steny Hoyer has helped keep her, I can't say that word, from the beginning. and obviously she is a consenting adult. She sure fooled my ass. Well, I had been holding out hope Bush would be pressured to lay off Iran. They will be attacked by Israel without a doubt. I believe it will happen the first week of August, just before the flurry of the Olympics and then the hectic back-to-school time. Not the best time to introduce a new product, and the perfect time to launch an attack. Giovanna, somewhere outside Boston, writes, Mike, I'm so pissed at what's going on in Congress. I've emailed Pelosi, my congressman, John Conyers, and the Judiciary Committee, and I get nothing. Not a reply, not an explanation, nothing. No one does anything for us in Congress. We don't count. We're just the people, and we should shut up and take it, just like the guy who made the statement about women and rape. You know, that statement from the Texas millionaire, billionaire who said, well, if you're going to get raped, maybe the best thing to do is just lay back and enjoy it. Giovanna writes, I'm sick to death of all the money being stolen, so I decided to go to Cindy Sheehan's website and contribute to her campaign. It might be a pipe dream on her part, but I feel the tiniest bit better knowing I can send my hard-earned bucks someplace where it might do some good, rather than into the hands of contractors and other thieves who are robbing America blind. It's not just the Bush crime family. We can call it what it really is, the Republicrat crime family. From Jack, good evening, Mike. It is now time to hell with impeachment. It's now time to arrest these domestic enemies of the United States, both Democratic and Republican, currently using the White House and the Capitol as a staging ground for the anti-American agenda, i.e. lying us into illegal wars for profit while America's infrastructure crumbles. When are the people, the American people, going to take off their rose-colored glasses and see what's happening to their country? Jack. From James, Mike, if the really informed, liberal, bright, and shiny people in San Francisco, Pelosi's district, allow her to get away with this treachery, what hope is there? Term limits in public financing at the beginning, it makes the corruption less efficient. But Barack Obama today said he doesn't want public financing. How you doing? Y'all still with me? You still there? Huh? Don't go away. We'll be back after this break. I know. This is rough stuff. I know. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
W's got a mission, yeah. W's got a plan, W's got a pistol, it's burning in his hand, cause he's turned the world into one big Texas. What?
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
21 past the hour. Don't forget, let me interject this before I get carried away again. The new, this is for the founding Founders Club, the Nova M Radio Founders. You know, you can join that. It's $100 a year, or $10 a month, or $250 a week. No, I guess you can't pay a $250 a week. All right, but the new video is up. The Home Office wanted me to start doing these videos one a week. We did the first one a couple of weeks ago, and it was pointed out to me it looked like it was done in Osama bin Laden's cave. So we changed a bit of the lighting here in the studio on the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, and the second video is up. And what it's all about is just me reading, some of the weird email that I get. That I can't read on the air because it has, you know, really bad words, you know, caca words and stuff that you used to say before you got hip and educated and sophisticated. Three levels to which I'm still aspiring. But in the videos, you see, I can just say anything I want. Just like I was just on Sirius or XM, you know, instead of over-the-air broadcasting that is controlled by the FCC. So go check it out. Go look at it. Go look at it and send me an email and tell me what you think. Tell me if it's, you know, worth putting up there every week. Because if it's not, we'll do something else. Maybe we'll run a Tom and Jerry cartoon. I'm not sure. But tell me what you think. right? Just go, if you're a founding, there's 5,000 of you. You know, so far tonight I've gotten two emails.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You know, go take a look at it. Tell me what you think. And if you're not a Founders Club member, I'm sorry. That was directed towards the elite, right? The elite, the $10 a week people, the $100 a year people, or $10 a month people, $100 a year people, elite. We're real elite here, aren't we? John in Coronado, California. Coronado, that's where my brother-in-law spent some time when he was in the Navy. Coronado, California. Dear Mike, notice how in the announcement of this treachery, Pelosi's name is curiously absent. Do you think she fears her liberal constituents in San Francisco just might have had enough of her Republican capitulation? It may be too late to stop this travesty, but I, for one, pledge to support Cindy Sheehan's efforts to unseat this miserable excuse for a Democrat in any way I can. It won't undo the untold damage Pelosi is responsible for, but it may stop it happening again. And why the short time between announcement and vote? He's talking about the FISA thing. That way there would be no time for resistance from we the people to build. Yeah, it was introduced, it was announced today, the bill was filed today, and the vote will happen tomorrow in the House, in the House. The Senate had already passed a version, but this apparently is a jiggered version or a different version. I'm not sure about what passed the Senate. But this, if this one passes, then it goes to House, Senate, conference committee, and blah, 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 and then goes to Bush, who will just salivate and lick himself as he signs this one. This one won't require a signing statement. This is a signing statement. Reg writes, regarding the attack on Iran, my contact in Israel says the Israelis will attack in November. He, her contact, is convinced Netanyahu will replace Ehud Olmert. Armageddon is on the way. Oh, Jesus, God. How's the vegetable garden coming, Kathy? We had some squash tonight, didn't we? Huh? Out of the garden. Lord. William writes, Mike, what the hell ever happened to the bills being put up online? Remember that? I remember Pelosi and other so-called Democrats making a statement that all the bills would be put up online so people could view and understand them well before they were passed. I guess this was just another hosing we endured when we are all filled with hope in 2006. What a joke. It's a sick joke, and we bought it like a bottle of tainted water in the desert. Yeah. And Ray in Arizona writes under the subject, four legs bad, two legs good. We ought to read that one on the air like we did 1984. We ought to do that. Animal Farm. Mike, we are making the same mistake that the Republican Party made in 2000 and 2004. This fraudulent election season is much, much bigger than Barack Obama and the Democratic Party. This is part two of the hijacking of the United States government and America itself. George Bush and Barack Obama are identical. Both are arrogant, inexperienced, simple-minded, egotistical politicians selected for these very qualities to acquire the office of the presidency. Bush's family name and Obama's personality disarmed and continues to disarm their respective parties. Dick Cheney represented the power behind the throne for Bush, while David Axelrod is Obama's puppet master. Real Republicans stood by paralyzed and in disbelief as neocon named agents gutted and reformulated the party, the different branches of government, and the mainstream media. This is part one of seizing control of the largest economy and the mightiest military on earth. Part two is unfolding before our very eyes this election cycle inside the Democratic Party. If these agents of global dominance succeed again, the American experience will have ended. This isn't about race or class or party or gender or even generational. This is about co-opting our near-perfect union for selfish gain. Are there enough Democrats who will stand up and stop this hijacking of our party? Ray in Arizona. Bye.
Your host for a PNC Friends Future, it's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, excuse me, I'm sure you know the International Herald Tribune is the just another name for the New York Times. It's the global edition of the New York Times. Here is a headline from tomorrow's newspaper. The headline says, U.S. says exercise by Israel seemed directed at Iran. Seemed directed? Here's the story. Israel carried out a major military exercise earlier this month that American officials say appeared to be a rehearsal for a potential bombing attack on Iran's nuclear facilities. Several American officials said the Israeli exercise appeared to be an effort to develop the military's capacity to carry out long-range strikes and to demonstrate the seriousness with which Israel views Iran's nuclear program. More than 100 Israeli F-16 and F-15 fighters participated in the maneuvers which were carried out over the eastern Mediterranean and over Greece during the first week of June. The exercise also included Israeli helicopters that could be used to rescue downed pilots. The helicopters and refueling tankers flew more than 900 miles, which is about the same distance between Israel and Iran's uranium enrichment plant at Natanz, according to American officials. Israeli officials declined to discuss the details of the exercise. A spokesman for the Israeli military would only say that the country's Air Force, quote, regularly trains for various missions in order to confront and meet the challenges posed by the threats facing Israel, end quote. One Israeli goal of these exercises, according to a Pentagon official, a senior Pentagon official who had been briefed on the exercise and spoke on condition of anonymity because of the political delicacy of the matter, said the exercise appeared to serve multiple purposes. He said it was to practice flight tactics, aerial refueling, and all other details of a possible strike against Iran's nuclear installations. A second goal, the official said, was to send a clear message to the United States and other countries that Israel is preparing to act militarily if diplomatic efforts to stop Iran from producing bomb-grade uranium continue to falter. And the article goes on. I'll link this one also so you can check it out later. Well, it looks like Reg is on the money, huh? November. Getting nervous? Huh? Are you? Yeah, me too. Me too. These are risky times. You want a little good news? On this program? This is from CNN. Members of the European Union decided today to formally lift sanctions on Cuba. How about that? The sanctions, diplomatic sanctions, which limited visits to the communist island by senior European Union personnel, were imposed in 2003 after concerns were raised about human rights in Cuba. The sanctions were suspended in 2005, so lifting them now could be considered a symbolic move. But the move is seen as an attempt to encourage Cuban President Raul Castro to make progress on civil rights. At least one EU nation, Sweden, had wanted to see more evidence of progress before taking the step, but agreed to go along with the move. The United States trade blockade on Cuba, imposed 50 years ago, is not affected by the decision. And National Security Council spokesman Gordon Jandro expressed disappointment over the move. God damn, he said. We think the sons of bitch and Castro's need to take a number of steps to improve the filthy human... He didn't really say it that way. Human rights conditions of ordinary Cubans before any sanctions are lifted. State Department Deputy Spokesman Tom Casey said today the U.S. did not support such a move by the EU and sees no reason to shift policy. Of course not. Why don't you... You hypocritical rat bastards, why don't you impose sanctions on China? Huh? They're communists, aren't they? They have a miserable human rights record. Arguably, Cuba has jailed and God knows what else. We're the ones with the bad reputation as far as using prisons in Cuba for torture. But then again, we are a free society, so our media reports this stuff, and those goddamn Cubans, you never know what's going on in their prisons, right? Oh, yes, indeedy. But the Chinese, what, they don't have a bad human rights record? They're not commie? They're not seeking global domination? Well, the Cubans, Mike, are getting ready to invade Miami. They are? Oh, well, then stomp the hell out of them, right? Jesus God, I hate the foreign policy of this country, don't you? We have made so many enemies. We have made so many enemies. Oh, and my favorite story today, really, the favorite one, is the nuclear weapons parts are missing, says the Pentagon. The U.S. military cannot locate hundreds of sensitive nuclear missile components, according to several government officials familiar with the Pentagon report on nuclear safeguards. Robert Gates, U.S. Defense Secretary, recently fired both the U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff and Air Force Secretary after investigation blamed the Air Force for the inadvertent shipment of nuclear missile nose cones to Taiwan. According to previously undisclosed details obtained by the Financial Times, the investigation also concluded that the Air Force could not account for many sensitive components previously included in its nuclear inventory. One official said the number of missing components was more than 1,000. Do you want to know who is providing our enemies with the sophisticated weaponry that they probably at some time are going to use against American interests? Do you know who's providing it? The U.S. Air Force. Huh? The U.S. Air Force, the Christers, the ones who want to murder all the Muslims and boil all the Jews so that Jesus will come back. You do know about that, don't you? You do know what has happened to the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. You do know, don't you? Huh? You do, right? Huh? Okay. The United States Air Force has become, apparently, one of the biggest enemies of the United States. They can't find 1,000 nuclear components? They can't find them? Now, I know some of you tinfoil hat wearers say that the transport of nuclear-tipped missiles across the United States, all keyed up and ready to go, was the result of rogue elements within the Air Force operating on the orders of Dick Cheney, who wanted to slip these nuclear bombs someplace, maybe to an unmarked stealth ship. Do we have those? In the Persian Gulf, from which a stealth bomber could be launched, and, you know, just boom, 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 boom. Hey, that used to be Iran. That's for the conspiracy-minded listeners out there, right? The non-conspiracy-minded listeners are just convinced that the United States Air Force has become one of the biggest threats to U.S. security out there. Oh, wait, that's conspiracy also. Jesus Christ, is there no way to get away from the conspiracy theories? A senior defense official said the report had identified issues about record-keeping for sensitive nuclear missile components, but he stressed there was no suggestion that components had ended up in the hands of countries that should not have received them. Oh, of course not. Oh, of course not. But Daryl Kimball, executive director of the Arms Control Association of Washington, said the revelation was, quote, very significant and extremely troubling, end quote, because it means the U.S. could not establish the positive control on these sorts of components referred to by Mr. Gates when he fired everybody. Gordon Jandro, him again, the one that didn't like lifting the sanctions on Cuba, Gordon Jandro, National Security Council spokesman, declined to comment on the disclosure. But he said
Quote, the White House has confidence that Secretary Gates, through his actions with the Air Force, is addressing all of these issues, end quote. Other than that, we're not going to comment. No. We don't comment on stories like this. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, well. All right, we have a break coming here very quickly. So then we shall come back, and I guess we'll take a few phone calls. You want to do that? Want to take some phone calls? Okay. I have one thing that Daniel. Daniel Haas in Michigan, a former Marine Corps veteran, has sent me. Let's share with you. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
When Mr. Bush decided that we'd go to war alone, he kicked out the inspectors and we crossed the no-fly zone. When we first arrived in Baghdad, Mr. Bush declared we'd won. Though we had not found the our search had just begun. Tell me, who hid the WMD in Saddam Hussein's palace? Nobody found it. That's because it came from Dallas. He went in without a clue. Now he's left Iraq a zoo. The weapon of mass destruction.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Walk that walk. And you talk that talk. You knocks me out.
10 before the hour. Okay, we're getting way behind here. Let's take some phone calls, starting with Flo in Sunrise, Florida, listening to WINZ. Hey, Flo.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Seems to be all at once. I mean, Bush is trying to control Iraq. Then there's the no-bid oil contracts.
Yeah, aren't those nice?
For the Western oil companies.
Oh, yeah.
And then we got this FISA thing. I called my representative, Wasserman Schultz, and talked to Rachel there, and she said, I heard this on the news that the Democrats are going to cave. And she said, well, don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, don't believe your lying eyes. Listen listen to me.
Yeah, listen to me. So we'll see, but they are caving. But on Keith Olbermann's show, that Jonathan Turley, the constitutional attorney there, law expert,
He
said it was like a collusion. He said they could have let the damn thing die.
Right.
And maybe later on down the line investigated it to see what was really going on. Mm-hmm. But no, they wanted to cover their butts, bring it up. So it's self-protection, more or less, they called it. And that includes the Democrats.
Well, after reading Jason Leopold and Glenn Greenwald and some other people writing here in the past couple of weeks, past couple of months, really, around this issue of the Democratic Party leadership and the fact that they made it very clear as soon as they got control of the House and the Senate that impeachment was off the table, I have come to the horrific conclusion that the Democrats in Congress are actually in collusion with Republicans and are guilty as the rest of them. I'm beginning to realize people have been sending me emails with links to stories about Nancy Pelosi being briefed on torture years ago, before she was a speaker. Nancy Pelosi being briefed on the FISA bill and how the protection of the corporations was paramount, the telecom corporations, not the American public, not the Constitution, and that Pelosi made her deal with the devil, and Speaker of the House is what she got. She got her place in history, and she has become a traitor, not just to the Democratic Party, but also to this republic. So it's, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm holding on to when I keep saying, you know, maybe there's a chance. Maybe if Barack Obama is elected, maybe there's a chance. I don't know what I'm holding on to, but it's starting to feel more and more like some kind of a deep sea eel
that is just very slippery and about to turn around and bite my ass and maybe even kill me. So I don't, you know, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I feel the same way. They've let us down on everything. I'm so sick of them. I have a list, and they don't really want to talk to you unless you're a constituent.
Right.
But that doesn't stop me from calling and I'm complaining about everything.
Well, you know, anytime
they're cowards. They're cowards. They let us down. They don't give a damn about the people of this country. It's all thinking about themselves.
Yeah, I hate to agree with that, but.
That's the conclusion you have to come to.
I know. That's what I mean. I hate to agree with it, but, you know.
I do, too. But, you know, my daughter was one of the victims of she lost her home. They're going to take her car. None of this was her fault. She had a title company. So when the interest rates, you know, started, you know, going up, people couldn't, weren't closing. So she lost her business. She had to lay the people off working in her office.
Oh,
and now
God.
She's going to lose her car, too. I mean, none of this is her fault.
She lost her home.
Didn't have anything to do with the interest rate.
She lost her home, her business, and her
car.
Yep.
She had a title company.
Where is she living?
Well, she's living in her, she calls it a shed.
A shed?
Yeah. She has two dogs. And she's living in that. But she has to turn her car in the end of the month. And none of this is her fault because of the interest rates. And so she's losing everything. And,
How old is she? How old is she, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah, she's 40-something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've got daughters around that age group.
And it's hard for her. She's been in the business down here for 20 years, has never seen anything like this. She's done closing.
Mm-hmm.
She finally got the money to have her own little business, and it's all gone. Everything's gone.
She had a title investigation company? Is that
No, it's a title company. They do closings on homes.
Oh, okay.
So when, you know, nothing was closing, she couldn't pay her bills.
What
we can't help her. My husband lost his retirement in Wall Street with the Enron thing. I mean,
stop, Flo!
And then
my
other kid can't get a job. I mean, the jobs are horrible out there. And then just today, the Chinese were complaining to Paulson, calling it protectionism, because they want to maybe purchase some strategic national security things. And they have to go through the CFIUS thing. Did you ever hear of that?
CFIUS? Yes.
They were complaining about the CFIUS.
Yeah, and Paulson is the, he's the, what is he, what is his post?
He's the Secretary of, Treasury?
Yeah, the Treasury, that's right, the Treasury.
Yeah, so he was offending the Chinese. But
right.
Too bad. We have foreigners that might want to buy a railroad that carries a nuclear.
I got to ask you, with all this chaos in your family, why do you give a damn about the Chinese?
Well, I just happened to see that piece on tonight.
Because whenever I get neck deep, and it does happen, in problems in my family, whether it's this kid in school or that one who's, like your family, that one whose business is in jeopardy and this and that, you know, all of a sudden I get to a point where I couldn't care less about, you know, the Chinese, what the hell is that? Oh, that's right, they own a restaurant down the road here where I get some takeout once in a while. I really admire the fact that you can pay attention to other events. I hope things work out with your family, Flo. Jesus, I mean, that's...
Well, you know where Tracy's going to Georgia. She likes Georgia. She said she's had her feelings hurt so much down here.
Well, Florida is a risky place to live. I've lived there a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And both times, you'll pardon the expression, I've had my ass handed to me.
Well, she's looking for a job in Savannah.
In Savannah. That's
mm-hmm.
that's a nice city.
Savannah's... She wants to do closing.
Yeah. Well, stay in touch, Flo. Let us know how it goes with your daughter, okay?
I will, Mike. And if we could sell our house down here, I'd get the hell out of here, too.
I hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Flo. Keep your chin up. We'll talk again. Oh, man. Let's do a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Just as soon sit here the rest of the night and listen to Moody Blues. I know, it's from a long time ago. Remember that music? Oh my God, I have the, what is that compilation I have? Five CDs in it. Moody Blues music. Time Traveler. And I still, reminds me of better times. 7 past the hour. Welcome back, True Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. I have two websites for you that you should visit. If you want to have some influence, he said naively, on how your representative votes tomorrow in the U.S. House on the FISA bill. You'll go to the first one. The website here says it all comes down to this. Friday afternoon, the House of Representatives will vote on House Resolution 6304, the FISA Amendments Act of 2008, which contains exactly the same blanket telecom immunity that the Senate passed in February and that the House rejected in March, only with a few new bells and whistles so that political spinsters can claim that it actually provides meaningful court review. Which it doesn't. Anyway, this website, our military affairs correspondent just emailed to me, stopthespying.org. Stop the spying. That's easy enough, right? Sharon says go there. Stopthespying.org. Stopthespying.org. And it will tell you, give you a phone number for your representative. Enter your zip code. Stopthespying.org. The other one, two people have written to me about BART Cop. What was that you said? It's BART, B-A-R-T, Cop, C-O-P, BARTCOP.com, BART Cop. It is one of the oldest political satire websites out there. Old BART's been doing this for what, Kathy? 10, 11, 12 years, something like that? It's a site you ought to have in your favorite places. I said years and years ago that I would usually start my day with Buzz Flash and end my day with BART Cop. And in between, you know, all those other, of course, they have proliferated now, like mushrooms in the after a rainstorm down in Gainesville, Florida. Whew. They're all over the place now, but I digress. Now there are lots more places I go now, obviously. You can get TVNewsLies.org has a great page out now. You know, the stories that the mainstream media is not reporting. Op-Ed News has pieces of opinion. They've been publishing my little mini-blog quite frequently. But aside from that, they've got some good stuff there. It just goes on and on. You know where these places are. You know where they are. You know where they are. But BARTCOP.com, you should check out. BART, B-A-R-T, BART, as in BART, what's the cartoon? The Simpsons, Bart Simpson. I don't watch it. That's why I don't know it. BART Cop, as in cops, BARTCOP.com. No, I don't know where he got that name title, BARTCOP.com. Check it out. I want to share this with you, and then we're going to your phone calls. Daniel in Wixom, Michigan, wrote this. Dear Mike, I'm a former Marine Corps veteran. I'm one of the lucky ones that was able not able to go to Iraq because of an on-base injury. During my medical treatment, I was a motivator for new Marine recruits.
I was stupid then. Excuse me. I've been currently paying for my sins by going to school to learn how to become a journalist. I now work for the Redford Connection here in Redford, Michigan. For this past Memorial Day, issue, I did a series of articles on our veterans. One of these veterans was a close friend of mine who went to Iraq. Since I understand what it is like to be in the military, and I understand more than the average person about what our servicemen have to experience in Iraq, he was able to get me a detailed story. I wrote a story about a veteran who was once proud to serve in the U.S. military, but now seems broken. It was cut because my paper is a local paper which focuses only on the positive. It probably was the right thing to do for our paper, but I felt that I still had to write down something on a piece of paper, so I wrote this 200-word article about what my friend explained to me in our interview. And I eventually want to get it published. So here it is, 200 words from Daniel in Wixom, Michigan, titled 15 Months in Iraq. I am a lion tamer, trapped in a cage with a den of ferocious, rabid, invisible lions who are fighting amongst themselves over every inch of their territory. And I am trapped in the middle. The only thing I can do to defend myself is to lash out my whip at the slightest warning sign of their presence. They will get you. One second you are carefully watching out for the slightest bit of danger. The next second, one of these mad beasts has already lunged out, torn a limb from you, and scampered off with it before you have a chance to scream. I've been in this cage they call Iraq for over 9 months now, lost three of my closest brothers, swatted nine lions, and have accomplished nothing. Every day that I go out on a patrol, I get on my knees and pray to hear more than a single gunshot and for a chance to fight one-on-one with these malicious beasts. Every time one of our trucks is blown into bits of shrapnel, I can hear them guffawing in the distance. I wish I was one of them, watching my enemy explode into 1,000 pieces as I fought for what is rightfully mine. Ooh, it's that last sentence, Daniel. Thanks. Phone calls. Let us go to the telephone for a little while here. Susan is calling from Oakland Park, Florida, also listening on WINZ. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Susan. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
The original topic I called in on no longer applies, so can I give you like a smorgasbord?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, BART Cup. I believe, I don't have a computer, but I assume it stands for Bay Area Rapid Transit Cop.
No, no, no? He's in Oklahoma.
Oh?
That's a good guess, though.
Well, because yeah. BART is a pretty famous
Yeah, yeah, BART, just like MARTA here in Atlanta, yeah.
Right.
No, BART is in He's in Oklahoma.
All right, never mind that, too.
Right.
Theme song for the night, Barry McGuire's Eve of Destruction.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
it's as apropos today as it was 40-whatever years ago.
I know. Oh, God.
And when do you think the European Union will be imposing sanctions on us because of our human rights violations?
Well, probably never, because we are connected not with umbilical cords but with corporate strangleholds. The corporations that operate here operate there and vice versa. In the EU, in the UK, I'd like to see. I'd like to see somebody put sanctions on the United States because we're a torture nation. But I think most countries are afraid to do that.
I agree. The last thing I wanted to tell you was that tonight's show has cemented a decision that I made, 6 months ago when I voted for Dennis Kucinich in our Florida primary, even though he'd withdrawn from the race a week or two before.
Yeah.
And come November, I will either write in his name, or I will stay home, or I will not vote for president. I am so sick and tired. I have contacted my congressman. I got perfunctory answers.
You know, Susan, that's what we all get, and I agree with what you're planning on doing. Take care, dear heart. We'll talk again. Quick break. We'll be back.
We're on the eve of destruction.
you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the
we could sit around and listen to Leonard Cohen, too. 21 past the hour. A couple of quick emails here. Tom Lorette in Joshua Tree, California. I give his last name because he's got a great website. You ought to go check it out. He's an artist and a writer. TomLorette.com. It's Tom, L-O-R-E-T, TomLorette.com. He writes, Mike, the consequences of the Democratic Party's treachery are mind-boggling. Essentially, we the people have become stateless citizens, internal refugees within our own, correction, within the corporate state of America. We are now one entire gulag, all of us now prisoners of the state. There is no other way for me to understand this. How about you? Well, what was it that Hunter Thompson said? When the going gets weird, the weird get creative, or the weird gets down. What was that? You know, I don't. I agree with what you're saying, but it ain't over till it's over. If this gets much worse, I think there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of us who understand what's going to happen in this country. There will be resistance. There will be. You can only push 300 million people so far. I mean, goddammit, that is just simply the truth. We came very close to resistance during the Depression. We came very close when the World War I veterans were demanding their war bonus, and the government of Wilson refused to give them their money, and they marched on Washington. And General Douglas MacArthur, at the time was not a general, I guess was a colonel, was called out, called the troops out. The instructions were to fire on these bonus marchers, I believe they were called. And one of the people who defused all this, I think, unless I'm getting a couple stories screwed up, was Smedley Butler, the only U.S. military man to receive two Congressional Medals of Honor. Yada, 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 yada. The point is not the history. The point is there have been times in this country where we came very close, and people were ready to do whatever necessary to ensure, sure, their own self-interest. Yeah, I mean, you know, people were starving. But the bigger picture was to ensure the continuation of this democratic republic. And I don't have any doubt, and I think one of the reasons that a full police state, martial law, whatever, has not been declared, is that to some degree, it should be 100%, but to some degree, the government, that means the political leaders, I'm not talking about the documents, the political leaders of this country still have maybe 5, 6, 7% fear of the American public. I think most people like Dick Cheney and you know, everybody else understands that because of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, that there are an awful lot of people out here who are heavily armed and who know how to use their weapons. I'm not saying we have tanks. I'm not saying we have machine guns. You know, some do. Not me. I don't have one of those 50 caliber rifles that you can you know, kill somebody 4 miles away, but there are enough. God, I sound like a madman tonight. But we're in madman territory. So, you know, what difference does it make? Where was I? I think there is enough fear still a little bit left. I mean, they know we're a nation of sheep. They understand that. The leadership does, Democratic and Republican. They know we're a nation of sheep, but they also understand that there are enough of us out here who will resist if resistance is what is ultimately required. They know it. And I think there's also some question, even though I understand there have been some drills or exercises lately or questionnaires, this may be just apocryphal nonsense, but members of the U.S. military being asked if in a time of emergency they would fire on the citizens of this country. You know, who knows? I don't know if that's true. I have no idea, but I've been getting information about it. So my answer, Tom Lorette, is, yeah, things are drifting straight to hell, but they're not there yet. I mean, not, which seems to contradict what I say so many nights, but it's not there 100%. How's that? We're 94% there? 95%? One of the reasons I support the idea, notice how he's hedging, folks, I support the idea of a Barack Obama presidency is because he does seem to have the ability to inspire people. Now, if this is just inspiring people who are desperate to be inspired solely and exclusively and really don't particularly give a damn what the man stands for or who stands behind him, then it's not a good thing. But if there's something in the collective consciousness that sees in Barack Obama perhaps a possible torchbearer who can, you know, lead the way out of this jungle, this forest, this cave labyrinth we're in, and get us back to the point where we can at least maybe toy with the idea of real democracy, then there's something good about the crowds that come out and seem to be overwhelmed by this man. I don't know, Tom. That's the best I can do, pal. That's the best I can do. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
All right. Thanks to Kyle in Mississippi and Richard in Bedford, Texas. The Hunter Thompson thing is when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro. I should know that. But it's been washed away. Mike in Golden, Colorado writes, I'm so disappointed with, among other things, Obama's refusal to urge impeachment. That's the only way I would vote for him. Or I'm so disappointed that the only way I would vote for him is if the Republican candidate was Satan 2.0. Oh, wait. Here is some breaking news for you. The International Atomic Energy Administration. Is that IAEA agency? The head of the IAEA, Mohammed Al-Baradei, says he will step down if major powers launch a military strike against Iran over its nuclear program. In an interview with Al Arabiya television, the director general said, quote, a military invasion against Iran would pose great danger to the Middle East and the world, end quote. Earlier this month, in his latest IAEA report over Iran's nuclear program, Al-Baradei certified the non-diversion of declared nuclear material in the country's nuclear activities. The report said, quote, Iran has provided the agency with access to declared nuclear material and has provided the required nuclear material accountancy reports in connection with declared nuclear material and activities, end quote. The report of Al-Baradei's resignation comes amid widespread speculation that U.S. President George W. Bush is drawing up secret plans with the help of Israel to launch a military strike on Iran before the end of his term in office. With their blatant disregard for international reports conceding the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear activities, world powers have ramped up the rhetoric against the Islamic Republic, accusing the country of running a covert nuclear weapons program, and on and on. So al-Baradei is threatening to resign. Yeah, that's what we need, activity that causes a few sane people left in the world to say screw it and pack their bags and go home. Susanna in L.A. writes, good evening, Mike. The waning days of the Bush administration have lately reminded me of family outings to Coney Island in the 50s. The most terrifying ride to me was a racetrack that ran all the way around the steeplechase. You'd get on a merry-go-round type horse with another person with half a dozen different lanes separating the horses. Then you would zip around pretty damn fast a couple of stories up in the air. All the while, the horse's neck would bob back and forth, decreasing your stability. Lots of pale, shaky people exited that ride. I was hoping in these final months of the worst president ever, Bush would just kick back, invite some dignitaries in for barbecue, spend a couple of months in Crawford, and bicycle around the White House grounds. But the wild, dangerous race goes on. Suzanne. Okay, and then the last one. The only reason I do these emails, you people write some pretty good ones. This is from Ken, Palmetto Bay, Florida. Hey, Mike, I was thinking of you as I... Oh, he's the subject line says, greetings from the North Georgia Welcome Center on I-75. Mike, I was thinking of you as I drove past exit set 27 in Cleveland, Tennessee, where a sign advertised the nation's largest Christian bookstore. I thought I might check it out to see for sure, but hell, how would I know for sure? They wouldn't lie, would they? Anyway, driving back to Miami after a week in Knoxville, Tennessee. Holy crap, talk about the land that education forgot. When I landed at the airport last Tuesday, I stepped outside baggage claim to get a smoke, and there was some hillbilly lady about 7 months pregnant dragging on a camel with three other rugrats running around. Welcome to effing Tennessee. Now, a last-minute ticket to get back home, my company plans things so well, was $700 and would take 12 hours with two stops. So I said, blanket, it's cheaper to drive my Mustang rent-a-car back to Miami, even at about 12 miles per gallon. Hell, it may be the last time in my life I get paid to drive a V8. Anyway, I thought you guys were on an Atlanta radio station, but I see not. Of course, no damn satellite radio in the damn rental car. Oh, well, lots of country and Jeebus tunes between Atlanta and Florida state line. Sure hope Georgia sells ephedrine in their truck stops. Going to need it. Have a good show, Ken. All right. Suzette is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Suzette.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Excuse me. I got a frog in my throat.
I can't hear you.
I said I'm fine. How are you?
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Very well.
Oh, good. What's up?
What you just said, first of all, the Christian bookstore is flooded.
What have you been smoking tonight, Suzette?
No, sir.
Huh?
No smoking, nothing.
Oh, okay. The Christian
bookstore. All right. The first, I got to know you when you said rat bastard.
Yeah?
And that's when I started listening to you. And I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. Who would you have for president, and who would you have for vice president?
Well, let me see. Who would I have for president? Jack Daniels, and for vice president, Johnny Walker. Jesse is calling from Louisville, listening on the Internet. Hey, Jesse.
Hi, yeah.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, okay, I'm here.
Okay, so am I.
Yeah, you were talking to the lady, and all of a sudden she was gone. I was listening to her, and then she was gone.
I know, that happens. It's called the end of a phone call.
Okay. you know, I really love your show, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm getting ready to set up a podcast, and I'm hoping to model it after your show here.
Oh, no.
You know, There was a bumper sticker or a T-shirt or both that I saw some time ago that said, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
I hear that.
And you know, Mike, I'm listening to your show, and I've been, you know, I see stuff on the Internet, American Blog and other stuff, TV news and lies, and I'm outraged, Mike. I'm outraged at these damn Democratic whores who are sleeping with the Republicans who have sold us out and are selling us out. And, you know, Mike, you said something the other night. In fact, you said tonight something about how they know they were sheep. Well, there are some of us out here that are wolves in sheep's clothing, and it's time for the wolves to come out and take it to the streets, because that's the only thing, Mike, that's going to get their goddamn attention. The only thing that's going to get their attention. And, you know, these protests, these demonstrations that we have, these organizations, that's fine. They have their place. But, you know, we got to take it to the streets, Mike. It's the only thing that's going to get their attention. I am sick and tired of this. I'm tired of what they're doing.
No, wait, Jesse. Jesse, we're not just on Sirius Satellite Radio or just the Internet. We're also on over-the-air radio, which means there are certain words you can't say, and you happen to hit one of them. I know. It's hard to figure this out. Well, if you can say that, why can't you say this? Well, I agree. You know, I think the... restriction on language on radio is ridiculous. I really do. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. But don't forget, we're a Christian nation, and there's certain things that we don't tolerate. Queers getting married, Muslims controlling their own oil, and bad words on the radio. Mary Ann is calling from Aurora, Illinois. Happens to be our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief. How was your trip? Where were you, in Switzerland?
Oh, no. I'm actually going to go to Genoa this weekend.
Oh, you're going to Italy. Okay.
I'm going to Italy.
And that's a conference?
Yeah, it's a big conference, European.
Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
When you're over there, will you tell the people at the that great big atom-smashing machine, don't do what they're going to do? I'm scared to death they're going to unleash a black hole. You know, the collider?
The sign of the universe.
That huge...
strange matter problem. No, that's... I wouldn't worry about that. And besides which, you know, it's just like the way they used to reassure us in the 50s.
You'll never know it if it happens.
That's right. By the time it hits, you'll already be dead.
That's true.
Or, you know, like, hey, what a way to go. But anyway, yeah, I mean... I guess my comment was because, yeah, you, like yourself, I just stand back appalled. Except, isn't it, you know, it's amazing. We
Hey, can you hold on? Can you hold on? Marianne, I got to
yeah,
ask
sure.
you to hold on. Let me put you on hold because we've got to do a break here. We'll come back. I'm talking about that big collider where I think in a couple of months they're about to try to do something to quarks or atoms or subatomic particles, consequence of which might be starting a or several black holes. And as Mary Ann, who is a physicist, as she points out, we'll never know it anyway, but that's the last thing you might hear. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
I thought it might be worth a mention. If you're not pissed off at the world, then you're just not paying attention. You can turn off the TV and go about your day. But just 'cause you don't.
Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew. Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wiff, Sharon Gordy, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Don't forget, for Nova M founding members, you can now watch a weekly video of your humble and obedient servant. That would be me. Log into NovaMradio.com. Go to the founder section, click on videos, and check it out. There's some bad words in it, and this week's is... some talk about self-pleasuring, but back to Mary Ann, who is our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief. All right, where were we?
Oh, yeah, we were talking about the world being sucked into black holes created at CERN.
Yeah, the Hadron Collider. Yeah, that's not
going to... If only. Yeah. I mean, the planet is going to stay here long after we're gone.
Let's hope.
You know, some Mad Max land scenario here. But anyway, what was I going to say? It's disappointing, yet again, isn't it? You know, with my background with Barack Obama. I was one of his fundraisers before anybody knew he was even running for Senate.
Right.
But, you know, I have to admit to being a sucker for a pretty face, but also he was certainly saying the right things back in 2002 and 2003.
Are you disillusioned?
No. Well, the thing is that you can't take somebody from that level in state government and then suddenly they're like the shoo-in candidate for the United States, for President of the United States, without there somebody being involved in this. Mm-hmm. Somehow. As I was arguing 2 weeks ago, I wasn't one of the people who was really anxious to get Barack Obama coordinated. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't, one of the people who wouldn't have mind seen a real tough fight to the convention, because I wanted these guys to sell themselves to us over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody was a little bit afraid of that fight. But there is one.
You don't think Obama has done that, sold himself over and over and over again?
He hasn't sold me. He has been totally silent on a lot of critical issues.
Absolutely. But you are not, and a lot of listeners of this program are not, the typical voters. I think he has succeeded in selling himself. If you look at the model for selling in this country, you sell the sizzle. You sell the form, not the substance.
But you know, there is something, though. There is something that has to do with the process. And it's not so much... an achievement of Barack Obama's as it is an achievement of Howard Dean's. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama bought into Howard Dean's 50-state strategy.
Right.
Except for this time instead of the Congress, it's the presidency. That's how he beat the Clinton machine, who were aiming for the big states and the big sweeps. He was working with the state and local parties mm-hmm. on the ground in all of those states, and he had those string of little victories that just kind of blew past the Clintons, and they couldn't quite scramble.
It almost has become a trap for him, because today he had to announce that because of the 50-state strategy, he has to break his promise to accept federal funding and go it alone, which means the money's got to come from somewhere. Now, he's been phenomenal in internet raising and small donations, so, you know, maybe he will skate past.
Well, I think that's just the issue of the current state of campaign finance now, which is broken. I mean, and you can't just, you know, unilaterally disarm.
That's
when you're
true.
Coming to the fight of the century, which this is.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that because he has now wedded himself to all the local and state parties, he can be responsive to it. Now, that's the hope, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, who knows, maybe FDR wasn't FDR before he had to become FDR in the mid-30s. And now I'm hoping that because this is a real movement, this is a lot of people really wanting to get involved with the system, we'll be able to force, you know, President Obama to be the leader we need him to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only if we don't assume that it's all on autopilot. So when he gets in, if there's no other nonsense going on, and, you know, or the powers that be have decided that their Team A is screwed up so badly that they got to let Team B go in there.
Uh-huh.
And until, you know, the rabble is settled down. But no, we, you know, the day one, we're in there, you know, keeping President Obama's feet to the fire.
That's really rolling the dice, isn't it?
Well, what else are you going to do? Our insurrection isn't rolling the dice. <You know? laughs> I mean, this is what we got. And I'll tell you, I wasn't a fan of Hillary for a lot of reasons, starting with her atrocious war vote.
Right.
However, those Clintons are smart. They had a certain Machiavellian toughness, you know.
Right.
And I don't believe they were completely insane like the Bushies.
Right.
But, you know. But that's what we have, and as I said, it's not autopilot, and we're just going to have to step to the plate on Inauguration Day.
Well, you know, I think either you've said that in an email I've read over the air, or other people have said it in emails I've read over the air. But that seems there seems to be a mini consensus, or at least a rising consensus out there, exactly what you're talking about. Put him in office, and then show him how to be president. Now, and I'm not trying to be you know, a jerk by saying that, but I'm just paraphrasing
saying. Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the value of the man in and of himself.
Right.
I mean, this has to do with a much bigger process.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, anyway.
You remember the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, do something about that Large Hadron Collider or whatever the hell it's called, because it physicist or statistician figured out there's only a 1 in 50 million chance that strange little tiny black holes are going to be created. But as he pointed out, that's the same as winning a national lottery 3 times in a row, and that's an almost impossibility.
In a myriad of parallel universes, we're already doing it, and doing it again, and yet again. So, you know, I wouldn't worry about it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Marianne.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. It's easy for her to say.
But see, I live in this universe.
I know, me too. I was going to say that to her.
It's intact at the moment.
It is indeed.
I really like it to be like that.
But as she said, and, you know, it's so true, if little strangelets and black holes are created, mini black holes, M-I-N-I, black holes are created, strangelets are, and strangelets, well, never mind.
You like saying that word.
It's almost like a friendly word, even though it's a highly dangerous word. But if they are created, as Marianne pointed out, we'll never know. It's just like one moment we are, and the next we aren't. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, y'all. Really, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.